This is Solid State Sessions, a show dedicated to original music from local bands and artists. Broadcasting from his bunker located 40 feet below downtown Lapeer. Wait, he's live in studio? Oh, this is going to be a train wreck. Here's your host, Adam Hairhawk.
Friday, everybody. It is Friday, a beautiful Friday out there. This is Sessions, where we do nothing but Michigan-made music. On today's show, I've got Camisas. Realize I've been screwing that name up for a good couple of years, so I have a lot of apologizing to do for that. The Camisas are here tonight. I got Noyce, I've got Matt, giving them some time to tune up because they're playing everything live tonight. It's going to be a good time. We're going to try to go Facebook Live, but something's going on with, I think the camera got unplugged, so I got to figure out, I got to get a hold of the IT department, see if they're done playing hacky sack for the day so they can see if they can help us out. Strap yourselves in, kids. It's going to be a good time. The Camisas going to be in studio with us. They're in studio. We're going to be talking to them in the meantime. Let's do a little Verve Pipe. Here's Photograph on Sessions on Solid State Radio and the Solid State Radio app. Verve Pipe. Perfect.
times are coming when the sinner must die.
Was kind of feeling that song. Black Jake at the Carnies from Ypsilanti. Sinners, you better get ready on Sessions on Solid State Radio and the Thumb's Greatest Hits 97.7 WTGV. The Camisas in studio. We're going to be talking to them momentarily. Got to take a little bit of a break when we come back. The Camisas right here on Sessions. Welcome back to the show. This is Sessions, where we tip the cap to Michigan-made music 6 days a week, Monday through Friday, from 6 to 7 on Solid State Radio, 11 to midnight on the Thumb's Greatest Hits, 97.7 WTGV. And then on Saturdays is where it all began, 9 to midnight. 3 hours of nothing but Michigan-made music exclusively on Solid State Radio. Listener discretion strongly advised. The Camisas in studio. I've been jacking up their name for about 2 years. How long have you guys been a band?
I don't know. Since maybe 2021.
So 2021?
3 years, yeah.
Three years. So I've been jacking up your name for 3 years. I just found out today it's not the Camisas, it's the Camisas.
Camisas, see.
My apologies. Welcome to Sessions, by the way.
thank you for having us, Adam. And, you know, no apologies necessary, but you certainly do have a lot of editing to do.
Some intern is going to hang themselves trying to put this together. I've got Matt, I got Noyce from the Camisas in studio. This is normally where I would just go ahead and start playing some recorded music, but they said, no, we're going to do everything. We're doing it live tonight. That's right.
We got to go live.
That's
what
right.
Was that one Jay Hole said? Is that his
name? No.
Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah,
I was right when I said J-hole.
Yeah. We were going to go Facebook Live, but somebody has decided to unplug the camera, and I can't figure out how to plug it back in. So apologies, but I mean, the phone line is still open if you want to ask a question, comment, concern, or a dirty joke. 810-433-2006. That number again, 810-433-2006. So, you guys been together for a couple of years. Now, Matt, I'm going to direct the first thing towards you because I have been privy to your career for 20 years now, over 20 years.
Over 25 years 20, now, Adam.
25
yeah.
years.
1999.
And when I first met you, you were raucous. You're kind of a, not like metalhead. He wasn't like in GWAR or anything like that, but it was very much a departure from what the Camisas is doing these days.
Yeah. It's weird because, back then in the 90s, you're talking about Solid Left Hook, which was kind of like a heavy metal band, and we had some kind of shreddy type Metallica-esque tunes for sure. Yeah, some.
It was almost like the harder edge Collective Soul meets...
Well, that's where I came in, Adam. Yeah. That's I Collective Souled it.
Whoa, nice.
And because I came in with like a heavy blues background and just classic rock and roll, and that's where my background was. So the metal part of that band was more the other side, like the rhythm section was
right.
Jason and Dave, and we were a pretty tight group.
Yeah, you had a lot of power coming out just for a trio there.
Yeah, we definitely defined power. Trio.
So what you started out that way.
Uh-huh.
Now you're doing the Camisas.
Yeah.
Right?
Camisas.
This is going to be a test for me all
That's okay.
night.
And if you say it wrong, I don't care.
Okay.
So it's not a big deal. You could even say Las Camisas, and I'd be like, not a big deal.
If I screw up the name, please give me a call. And if I screw it up and you call, I will hook you up with something out of the prize bin. The Camisas. It's definitely a departure. Talk me through that. I know I'm asking you to talk me through 25 years in like a minute. But please,
I can
go
do
ahead.
That.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So it's... I took a lot of time off in between that time, though, a lot relatively. I didn't play music much. I didn't write music much. So I went from being in Solid Left Hook, kind of a more original music band, and then when I, because I'm, my day job is a professor, so I had to train for that quite heavily. And so while I was doing that, I didn't do too much in music, but just played in cover bands. That's played bass in cover bands. Bass is my main. My main gig, and I'm actually the bass player for the Kemesis mostly.
Are you? I've never seen you play bass in my
really?
Life.
No, I've never
it's
seen you play
bass.
It's
been my instrument since I was 15. Like Jason coming into Solid Left Hook was like having a second bass player coming
right.
in. And I play guitar like I play bass. So
really?
I pretend the guitar is a just like a treble bass.
Interesting.
He's very wicked good on bass, too.
Thank you, Noise. Noise is wicked good on guitar.
He plays drums also.
So who is all in the band?
Yeah, so we have Noise Hillis here. He plays guitar, and sometimes he sings. And he and I were in a band about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, called the Noise Junkies.
Okay.
No pun intended. That wasn't even your band name, was it? Noise?
Yeah.
I'm a host of this show now, too.
The Noise Junkies.
There was definitely a pun intended.
Oh, okay. That's a great pun. You know, you've lied to me all these years and said, no, it was no coincidence at all. but Noise is around, and he and I I'm trying to do acoustic shows with just the two of us. To make it easy on me because I'm busy with work and so I'm trying to work less and play more music. But right now I'm working more. What's up with that?
Summer's coming.
That's true. And so Noise and I have Jonathan Jones who comes around and plays horns for me.
Really?
And another hornist called Rich Main, and he plays mainly trumpet, but he also brings around a flugelhorn sometimes.
Flugelhorn.
Yeah, so that's about as weird as we get as far as instrumentation. Oh, I have a kazoo sometimes,
And Jonathan can play all the horns.
Yeah, he plays assorted horns, flute and...
Trombone.
So you went more of an eclectic route with...
Yes, with the Kemesis. I went from that metal, early kind of rock and roll metal kind of phase, and then this recent bit is kind of like... No rules. I'm doing whatever I feel, and however the song comes out is going to be the song.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And people's tastes change as they grow, too.
Sure.
And
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Taste. Yeah. It's very malleable.
New stuff.
But we also have more personnel. So we have Tim Flynn likes to play drums with us quite a bit. Jason Combs played bass with us for a while.
I know Jason.
He's been in and out, and I want to get back in touch with him and do some more work. But, you know, ever since I took over bass for my own band, I'm like, why do I have to bring in another bass player? And I actually asked Jason, do you want to pick up a mandolin or a banjo? And he said, no. It was like
I can actually picture him saying, no. No.
No. It was really fast, too. And Dan Garrix sometimes played drums for us. We have Omar Hyatt, who comes around and plays percussion sometimes. And
who else do we have? So it's kind of like it's you and then whoever just happens to be there at that time.
Oh, and Dave Reingart. Yeah, Dave Reingart, a drummer. He comes around and plays drums for us too.
I was going to say Dennis.
Dennis Cassidy.
Oh, wow.
Comes and plays. So I keep the personnel loose and I kind of build the band according to gig.
So how do you make that decision?
I don't know. It depends on, I guess it depends on the venue and who else is playing. And I think we're playing April 6th at the Corona Road Bar.
Are you really?
We are.
Oh, wow.
And I'm bringing...
I love the Corona Road Bar.
I'm bringing as many Kemesis as I can to that one. So if you're looking for something to do, Adam, on April 6th.
That's on a Saturday?
That's a Saturday.
I'll probably be here doing a local original I'll probably be doing here local original music. Or I could pre-record and just come hang out with you guys.
well, maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll pre-record our set and then come over here.
Cardboard cutouts.
Animatronic.
Will we both do that and end up at the other's venue?
Oh, man. Wouldn't that be something?
We are going to go Facebook Live anyway without any video. You'll just see the logos and a black screen. So we'll do that. So leave a comment or question.
as I'm typing this out and talking at the same time because, you know, that's the professionalism that you expect from Solid State Radio.
You did a really good job there. That
Thank
was
you.
Really good.
Thank you.
What multitasking.
Are you, so let's get to the music. You guys sure. have, you didn't bring the guitars just to the show or to lose your picks into.
yeah. That never happens, Adam. That was one time thing.
Gotcha. What are you starting off with tonight?
Tonight we're going to play. Start off with God Bless the Dustbin Man.
Talk me through this track.
Oh, man. This one comes off our album called The Wonderful Ice Cream Suite. And this is based, the whole album is based on Ray Bradbury short stories. And so this is based on a Ray Bradbury short story called A Medicine for Melancholy. And it's about a sick girl who receives advice to go sit her bed on the walk outside and let people come in or walk by and guess what's wrong with her.
Really?
Yeah. And she stays out there all night. So this is what happens during the night.
I noticed that. Okay, so you got this and you got medicine for your sads. I'm noticing that kind of a motif. A lot of times it's medicine, it's fixing people, it's helping people.
Yeah, and that's funny because the collection of short stories that I drew from is called A Medicine for Melancholy. So it's so Medicine for Your Sads is kind of a play on that that collection.
All right, here's the camisas. God bless the dustbin man.
Gracias. You ready, Noyce?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. The man with the smile without a face, moonlight camellia could never cure your malaise. Set on walk your bed, my dear, you lost your head. Pray. Dustbin man came to you while you were asleep. He whispered something in your ear. You smiled ever so sweet. I didn't believe his advice. The light of the night is your rhyme. God Dustbin Man. Soot black is cold, has shone the brightest light. Set on the walk your bed, the light of the night cured your hair. Pray for moonlight, pray for.
Nice.
Thank you. Thank you. And a natural fade out.
God bless the Dustbin Man on Sessions. Nicely done.
Thank you.
Where do you think, and this is for either one of you guys when it comes to songwriting, where would you say you derive most of your material from? Is it autobiographical, the news? Is it just maybe, do you do mushrooms and decide from there? I mean,
pretty close to that last one, yeah. Noise, I don't think you write too much. You've got some snippets, riff snippets.
The last whole song I finished was in 1998.
Ah.
The last whole song I finished was in 2021, I think. It's been a while since I've... But some of it is autobiographical. So Gas Station Girl is very autobiographical.
Sure.
And but the, like, God Bless the Dustman Man, of course, there's... It only has very little to do with my real life.
Sure.
I only set out my bed on the street once a year.
On the solstice.
Yeah, but it's
someone
different.
Tells me he's not kidding. Yeah. It's like, yeah, why are you laughing? Solstice, I do this all the time.
The summer solstice, mind you, not right. The winter solstice. That'd be insane.
Yeah, that would be rough.
Well,
a lot
yeah.
of comforters for that one.
So it's a big mix. I like to... lately I've been attracted to writing songs based on literature, and so I like science fiction, and I've been doing a lot of that.
Really?
But yeah, so that's where this album comes from, the Wonderful Ice Cream Suite. And there's a Ray Bradbury story called The Wonderful Ice Cream Suit, so all I did was add an E.
Oh, look at you.
Isn't
that's
that
a way
cool?
to circumvent some.
I just like to change other people's words. That's really how I make my music, Adam. I just change other people's words around.
All right, so Noise, let's move the focus over to you for a minute. What does your story begin when it comes to playing music?
Oh, I just thought it looked really cool on TV.
Yeah?
Like playing guitars. So I got my first guitar when I was 5 years old. It was a broken little toy guitar
sure.
that my mom got me from the Salvation Army, and I took it with me everywhere.
Like, yeah?
Yeah.
What was it on TV? Do you remember what you saw on TV? You were like, okay, I've got to do that.
It was everything. one thing was Hee-Haw.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people got some,
I was just about to say Roy Clark. Roy Clark. Yeah.
I had that book, his like instructional book that had the stickers in the background that you put on.
You put it right on the board. Oh yeah, yeah. I've seen a lot of guitars with that.
Is it like little letter stickers?
Yeah, it
was just
to like what the notes were.
Oh, okay. Like do you know the fretboard like that?
No, I never took the stickers out and put them on.
You know, Play and Slide has given me like a different understanding of the fretboard.
Yeah.
And because I can't play slide like normal, I can't hold Little Jerry like I want to.
Little Jerry's
the name of my guitar for all those people at home. So I can't do this. It sounds like, sounds kind of awful.
Yeah, so you're playing it more like a pedal steel.
Yeah, I put it on my lap, and Dennis...
Sure.
Our friend, he said, why don't you get a lap guitar? And I said, shut up.
I've got one. It's right here. He's in my lap. It's a guitar.
Right,
it's a lap guitar.
That's all I need. Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to. But yeah, that's.
No, that's fine.
No, I'm sorry.
I like to, his style there for using the slide, he puts it on his thumb. I've never seen anybody do that.
Oh, yeah. I have the hitchhiker method.
Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't even notice that.
There you go.
Okay, all right.
And I can chord with it, so I...
I've seen people do that.
And then,
turn
it to
you've got it at an angle, and then straight, yep.
Now, I'm really jealous that I've tried slide, and I just can't make it sound in tune. So
yeah. I told you my story. I had a Frank Hannon from Tesla try to give me a slide lesson, and I don't remember anything from it. But, I mean, that's an interesting way of going about it. I mean, because you're not in open tuning. It's just standard.
This is standard tuning.
Standard. Down-tuned at all? Just
nothing.
Okay. Because I don't tailor make the show to musicians, but I do have musicians that listen. So sometimes they want to know about tech questions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yep, so I hold my hand out like I'm hitching a ride, and I just stick the slide right on top of it.
Right on the first knuckle in the
right
thumb.
And then there it
is. It doesn't
is.
Fall off? Okay.
And it actually is a very helpful hitchhiking tool. I know that in Lapeer there are signs all over that say, don't pick up hitchhikers.
Well, it's a prison area.
Yeah, right. And so, but as soon as you get close to Flint, if you really want somebody to pick you up, you put a slide on your thumb.
Yeah. So that guy's, wow, he wow, just got out of the hospital. Business, yeah, right? his look at it. His
that got my, thumb that got must my be attention broken. From 2 miles away.
He saw it shimmering. Yeah. So what are we playing next?
I forgot already. He gave me the rundown, and I was supposed to remember.
What's a rundown?
No, he's just kind of kicks back. He's, like, he's just in for the he's awesome. The
noise compliments my guitar playing. It's a beautiful thing. But this next song is called "All the Junes and Julys That Ever Were."
Oh, this we've is, played oh, this on the show before. Pretty?
This is one of my favorites of his.
Okay, well, I guess let's do VH1 Storytellers.
Oh yeah.
What's the name of the title again? Junes and Julys?
All the Junes and Julys That Ever Were. And that's a line from a Ray Bradbury story.
Okay. So how does it relate to you? Do we like, okay, I got to write a song about this?
Well, I had the idea for the Wonderful Ice Cream Suite for a very, very long time. And I was intimidated by it because I wanted the songs to be worthy of the stories.
Okay.
And for years, this is like 2008 when I got the idea kind of flashed, and I was like, that's brilliant. But so for 15 years almost-ish, I was just spooked. And then I was finally like, I was spooked to write because I was like, I'd get some ideas and think, okay, I'm going to write a song based on this story, and I'd be like, it's not working out. You know, I wanted to make sure that it was good, but I don't know, something just clicked a couple years ago, maybe in 2021 or 2022. And I was reading Ray Bradbury's stories, and just certain lines would just stick out to me. And I'd just write down those lines. And I did a really funny thing, Adam. I almost every song on the Wonderful Ice Cream Suite started as a title, and I built the song around the title.
Oh, okay.
So this is
a lot
one of
times
of
people write the song, it's like, okay, now what do we call this?
Yeah.
All right.
So all the Junes and Julys that ever were,
all right.
I thought, that is so beautiful. And how about we try to make a song out of it?
All right.
Okay. You ready?
I think so.
So Mr. Finch left her earlier that morn. It's time to open the store. Sub 1912 decor. You brought the icebox to the attic, Mrs. Finch. You seem to be losing it. Sarsaparilla, but I'm hoping Mr. Finch might catch a wave. Leave open the window some more. I sent a summer in November. Hannahan's Pier. Wake up,
Nicely done.
Thank you.
You became your own peanut gallery right there,
oh,
didn't
I
you?
Did, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, that's one of my favorite songs, too. And my kitty cat helped me write that.
Your cat?
Yeah, she sure did. Pam Beasley is her name.
Okay, and how did that happen?
I was working through a few ideas for this tune, and I didn't even have any music lyrics, no real genuine ideas like that, but...
Right.
I was just having, you know, snippets out of the story. And while I was sitting there on my couch, just dangling the book, because, you know, just mulling over things, Pam Beasley comes around the corner, and she bonks the book with her face and her chin and does that cat thing. And I was like, well, thank you for the kitty magic. Let's make a song. And that song was written that night.
Nice.
The whole thing. Everything. And so I'm very proud of that, because normally it takes me about 10 years to write a song.
So she got a good can of tuna out of the deal.
Yeah. Oh, here you go, baby.
So you guys have a show coming up on April 6th.
We do.
Over at the Corona Road Bar. Anything else on the docket?
We do. On March 1st, we're going to be on Solid State Radio.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I hope you can tune into that. And on March 20th or 22nd, do you know noise? It's 22nd at Buckham Gallery in downtown Flint.
Ah, yes.
We're going to be playing three sets, and it's going to be pretty weird. I don't think noise can make that one, so it's sad for me. It's going to be a sad night, but I'll have Jonathan with me and Tim Flynn on snare drum, strict snare drum.
Really?
With brushes, yeah.
And, nice.
We're going to give Jonathan a kazoo and see how he handles that. And
he'll probably whiz on it.
He will be a whiz. He majored in voice.
Yes.
Yeah. So for all the horns that he plays, our hornist, our assorted hornist, plays, majored in voice. So pretty strange.
Where does, I mean, we've talked about Noyce, about how he started. Let's get into your kind of backstory, your origin story. We started the show off by talking about when you first started playing in bands.
Yeah.
It was much more of a harder departure than it was from this band.
Yes.
The Camisas. How did you start into getting into music?
That was a struggle, Adam. It was difficult, because there were people in my life who didn't know how to encourage musicianship in a person. It seems like I was the only person in this whole clan of people that I call family. It's huge, this family.
Right.
They didn't... None of them were really artistically inclined or musically inclined. Lots of shop workers in my family.
Okay.
You know, that... no one in really in the humanities, if you know what I
mean.
Right. Yes.
Very blue collar.
Yeah, very blue collar. Yep. Yeah. They liked what they liked. My dad played a little guitar, and that's where it began. But I knew even before then I was a musician, and I had something in me that was brewing like that. And I always I don't really have a clear memory of when it was triggered, like, oh, that's what I'm gonna do. Like,
right.
It was before I can remember, but I do remember walking by my dad's bedroom, and he was thumbing around on his guitar, and but then he hit it like a jerk. He never would get it out for me, and so it was kind of like music was distant, like I couldn't access it.
That seems odd.
Because he was a weird dude. But he died a few years ago. Yeah, thanks, Dad. Thanks for everything. And I got that guitar now.
And you found out where he hit it.
Yeah. It was dusted it off. No, he kept it really nice. But. Yeah.
Well, he gave it to you before.
He did. Yeah, but that's it. Goes back to that, I think, or even before that. And like when Noise was talking and he said Hee Haw, I was like, yeah, like that. I remember watching Roy Clark on Hee Haw and thinking like, I could never do that.
Right.
But choir was a big thing for me. Like that was my access to music in middle school, was like choir. And then once I got into high school, I started working and I bought my own guitar. Well, screw it.
I got to backpedal a little bit because I mean, I know in when I was in middle school and in high school, and I'm not saying this is right, but it's a fact that boys, men were not encouraged to be in the choir. It was kind of considered to be not manly, but you decided to hell with that. You did it anyway.
Oh, no. It was, well, to hell I go. it was the only resort I had. I wasn't allowed to join band, so I had to do something that was the last resort. So I was technically the only boy in choir for years, and that was difficult.
Difficult or... awesome because all these women around.
Well, they were really cool. Yeah, they were. That was a nice.
Or is it just like 20 girls? Oh, you're like my brother.
Yeah, there was that going on a lot too.
Dang it.
But that was fine with me because like I was keeping a lot of secrets as a middle school kid. Like I was born in poverty, so I was trying to keep that secret. My mom didn't work, so I was trying to keep that secret. And so the more distance there was with my classmates, totally cool with me.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. What are we playing next?
Next?
I'm at a loss.
We're going to do a song called Let's Be Company.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
And this is a favorite of several of our friends. This is another Bradbury tune. We played a miniature Bradbury set for everybody here.
That's awesome.
Let's Be Company. This is about it's based on another Bradbury story, of course, but this is about the story is a guy who has a crush on his neighbor and he wants to date her, wants to marry her, but he's got a hole in his head and he's self-conscious about it, so he's wearing a toupee to hide the hole in his head.
You're talking about like a legitimate hole in the
head. There's a hole in this guy's head.
Okay.
When I'm singing this song, it's literally.
So when I brought up mushrooms, I was not far off.
No, it was something that grows. And this song imagines what takes place before he goes and talks to his neighbor.
Gotcha.
This is him getting ready. So let's be company. Oh yeah, I'm doing this.
Yep.
Yeah. I got to make my lap guitar.
There you go.
Wait, where's my first note? Okay, I got it.
Yeah, I think you have to count this one off because we.
And a one, a two, a one, two.
Hey there, Mr. Fancy Pants. I see you shooting me a glance from the other side of the room. There's no need to use a comb, falsetto hair atop your dome, my man. You'll make one fine groom. And what a sad tale, poor wife was unwell. With a hammer she left a hole in the head, one good whack and off she went. So let's be company, you're the one for me. Need you like I need another hole in my hair. My man, let me get you a drink, a toast, a song to you. Sing, good sir, I say, can you hear that lovely little valley right down the hall? Promenade, make our call, we'll be married by this time next year. Tell her our sad tale, poor wife was unwell. No reason for leaving this hole in my head, one good whack and off she went. So let's be company, you're the one for me.
like I need another hole in my head. Tell her a sad tale, and poor wife was unwell. No reasonable leaving this hole in my head. One good whack and off she went. So let's be company. You're the one for me. I need you like I need another hole in my head. I need you like I need another hole in my head.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very reminiscent of like a Woody Guthrie kind of tune. Would you say you were inspired by some of like the singer-songwriters from like the late 60s on this one?
Yeah, but 1860s maybe, because I was actually thinking of kind of ragtime vibes. But no, that's interesting that you say Woody, because there are kind of like raggy elements in a lot of his music. But we covered like All the Junes and Julys mentions Moonlight Bay. Mm-hmm. So we covered Moonlight Bay within the suite.
Oh.
And then to take it to a meta level, Moonlight Bay mentions another song called Love's Old Sweet Song. And then we cover that one as well once in a while.
It's like, as a professor, all of a sudden, I realize now you have a song that's like the syllabus and then everything else.
Yeah. I'll add layers. Uh-huh. I want everybody to pick up on everything I'm doing.
What are you guys, I mean, as music listeners, what have you been listening to recently? New, or you're getting into the old catalog you've had for years. What have you been listening to recently?
In the car, I've been listening to Steve Miller Band. Steve Miller Band? Over and over again.
Yeah, it's on repeat.
Yep. And then the other CD that in my car is G-Unit.
Oh, really?
Wow, that's
2005.
Quite a difference there.
Yeah.
I like that, though.
That's pretty neat. I listen to, I try to seek out a lot of Michigan music.
Sure.
So it's Solid State Radio is right up my alley with the music from Michigan.
Well, we have an app. And you can download it and take it wherever
fantastic.
You go.
That's fantastic. You know, and what you do for Michigan music is so great, Adam, because it's, like I was saying before we went live on air, there is I don't want to say greater but I don't think there's a greater place than Michigan for music in Western
there's
society.
Definitely no shortage of music than in Michigan. I mean, you have a lot of great talent coming out of LA and New York, but I mean, a lot of those people go there to be talented.
Yeah.
Here, right. we just grow it organically, apparently.
Yeah.
There's so much great music coming out of here.
I forgot the question, Adam.
What have you been listening to lately?
Oh, yeah. Well, that Michigan music. But I typically listen to college radio and will, because they tend to play a lot of the obscure independent stuff. I'll note different artists that I enjoy and start listening. Oh, there's one band called Global Charming from the Netherlands that just blows my socks off. Now, listen, they have a song that's, this is some techno babble for all those nerds out there. They have a song that's in 7/4, and then the next measure is 7/4 with a 1/8 measure, like slipped in, like an eighth.
Or is
note.
That just like a mistake? I'm like, no, I meant it that way.
No, it is deliberate because it's in every verse. It's in every other phrase. It does this like 1/8 measure.
Wow,
and it is whack. It is so hard to count because it's 7/4, and then you got to count an eighth note before you get into the next measure.
Wow.
And that's bonk. But they make it sound so smooth. Global Charming, folks. Check them out.
What is the future for the Camisas?
The Camisas, I want to do more shows with just me and noise. That's fun because I like the acoustic shows.
Yeah.
And it gives me an opportunity to play guitar less, which is nice because...
Concentrate on vocals?
Well, I like to concentrate on one area. So if I'm playing bass, I want to play bass.
Right.
If I'm singing, I want to sing.
Sure.
Excuse me. Those waters you have were carbonated.
Oh, yeah. It tends to happen, especially in the South Side Radio studio. Any plans on a new album?
Oh, yeah. I got lots of albums lined up. But I just have no time to write them. Even all our
you have them, but you albums, haven't written them yet.
Yeah. Even our previous albums haven't even been finished. But we have one called Bellingham, and that's actually quite autobiographical. That's what Gas Station Girl's on.
Yeah, okay.
And then we have... one called Opus 2 Number 2, and that's a lot of old.
Okay.
That's kind of it's semi autobiographical, and it's kind of about a breakup, a second breakup in a second relationship, hence Opus 2 Number 2. It's like relationship 2, breakup okay. Number 2.
I'm looking forward to that one.
But it's semi autobiographical. Most of the album is just completely made up. Kind of stuff. But.
So we've been jabbering for a while here. Get you to play one more. We may run out of time. We might have to fade out of this one. But you want to play one more?
Yeah, we do.
Play us out.
So we'll play us out. This is Gas Station Girl.
Oh, yeah. And thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank you so much.
Sold me cigarettes before I was 18, and we went on secret dates. She didn't want to be seen with me, and I'm in love with a gas station girl. She had a boyfriend that no one else liked. Secret dates, so I don't wanna get knifed by him. I'm in love with the gas station girl. Ojibwa.